Okay.
What an honor it is to speak with you of Rock the Red. And let us thank Jared and Justin Williams and law firm Ocala.com for organizing and sponsoring this event, doing a nice job of it. I've already talked to them. I'm going to see if we can back up the truck and bring them some legal business, because we've got a lot of legal business coming in. I have 15 minutes only with you, and I was told I could talk about anything I wanted to talk about. First thing I'd like to talk about is I'm from New Hampshire, or as we say in New Hampshire, we talk funny, and New Hampshire has a special relationship with the Red that I'd like to address for a moment. The two, obviously, I believe it's obvious to everyone that the two, ain't no one's perfect, but the two real stains in our history is how we treated the Native Americans and the stain of slavery. I want to tell you something, Professor. I hope you don't mind you being a little short history lecture. There used to be, the people who were pro killing the Native Americans and being pro slavery, and there was a word for those people. Anyone know the word? Democrats. And then there were different ways of being. That was the Democrat Party. That's what they were about. That literally was the platform. And there was a party against them, and they were kind of what we would now call rhinos. They were called Whigs. They were called Whigs, as in W-H-I-G. It means kind of a soft, squishy, conservative. And their position was, well, if we, we're just going to try to get along with our peculiar institution in the South, and we're going to try to contain it and slowly make it die out. Now, there were some other people who were more radical, who were saying, we should be engaging and putting an end to this right now, like Frederick Douglass. But that position, the hardcore position, was not in favor. And there were some various deals made that let things limp along as they were. The first was the Missouri Compromise, when they admitted Missouri as a state. They carved off Maine, and they admitted it too. So he had one free, one slave. And that thus began that we were just going to admit states, one free, one slave. And that's what we did for 30-odd years. Then we got to Kansas and Nebraska, and a Democratic administration and a Democratic Congress pulled the rug out from under that deal. And they made the Kansas-Nebraska Act was, we're just going to have a referendum in each state and let them decide. No longer one free, one slave. Then there was this horrible case of Dred Scott, where Missouri slave got free, got to Illinois, should have been free, but he was recaptured by a bondsman and went brought back, and his case got to the Supreme Court. And a Supreme Court led by Chief Justice Taney, Democrat, decided 7-2, seven Democrats, that he could be returned to the South. And that made the Civil War inevitable, because at that point, people up in, like, New Hampshire could no longer tell themselves, I live in a free place, at least I live in a free state. And they said, we need a new party, and the Whig collapsed. That modern Rhino Party just collapsed. There was no point in being, its anti-slavery position was way too, didn't make any sense anymore, given that the Democrats had broken their deal. And in New Hampshire, in a place called Franconia Notch, if you've ever seen the pictures of there's a place where the mountain looks like an old man, the old man of the mountain. And right down that valley, there's a tavern, and a bunch of men met at the tavern and said, let's form a party whose pure and simple, uncompromising position is ending slavery. That party was called the Republican Party. Give yourselves a hand. The Republican Party has its origins in the fight to end slavery, in the fight to end the treatment of the Native Americans, in the fight for civil rights. Remember, there was a 10-year period of Reconstruction during which all kinds of advances were made. And then eventually the Democrats got strong enough again in D.C., Reconstruction was ended, Jim Crow was introduced. It was reinforced by the Supreme Court in 1893, Plessy versus Ferguson. And from then on, the Democrats had their way in the South. And the terrible history of slavery and Jim Crow and all of that continued in because of the Democratic Party. In fact, I often like to comment on this issue of the statues being torn down here. Folks, this is Democrats tearing down statues of Democrats. I don't have a dog in that fight. So I want to remind you, because there's done a lot to demonize Republicans, that to make them think, to make them forget their history, to make them forget the origins of the party, that it really is the party of civil rights. Everything that happened after that for a century was the Republicans that fought for, was, you know, the leftist Democrats in particular, the progressive movement came in. The progressive movement was dedicated to keeping down black people. In case you forget, they had all kinds of policies that were all about keeping down black people. The party, the KKK was basically the military wing of the Democratic Party. So this is this whole history that's been forgotten. This is the Democrats. And they're at it again. They're at it again. And now they want to fundamentally change the nature of a constitutional republic into some new type of, who knows what, a satrapy of China, a vassal state to some Swiss World Economic Foundation, who knows what. One thing we know that they don't care about is consent of the governed. Our fundamental principle is consent. Just government derives its power from consent of the government, consent of the governed. And how do we know what it is the governed consent to? We hold elections that are free, fair, and transparent. So the most atomic principle of our tradition, that just government derives its power from our consent, demands elections that are free, fair, and transparent. Anyone think that November 3rd, 2020 was free, fair, and transparent? Yeah, that's breaking the fundamental, the most basic principle of our deal. What? It's not over. We have, I'll tell you the big picture. I know this is a lot to swallow, but the big picture of what's going on is a regime change called a Bezmenov model PSYOP. And you know what a PSYOP is? And a Bezmenov PSYOP is one where you demoralize a population, then you confuse it, you disorient it, then you shove a crisis down their throat, and then you normalize. And you normalize by you're basically saying to the population, I know we've created this psychotic reality for you. The only way to get out of it is to step forward and accept this thing we just did. And it harnesses humans' great desire to get out of this, to get out of this psychotic reality and get back to something that seems normal, to accept it. That's how it's structured. Militaries have it down to a science. It's called a Bezmenov model regime change, or a PSYOP. And in our case, the four stages, the demoralization was COVID. Does anyone think that the response or social response to COVID was driven by science? It's pretty clear it was driven by a whole bunch of political considerations, right? The disorientation was Antifa. That was, you know, taking over six blocks, burning cities, killing cops, all that stuff. They hurt 700 police and killed about 33, and nothing was done. That's to disorient you. That's to tell you you don't live in the America you know. I was walking down the street in D.C. in front of the FBI building. Of course, I don't go in. I stay a long way. But I saw these guys on motor. This is October 2020, maybe November. I saw these goons on motorcycles and ATVs come roaring up and do just take over the FBI, the street in front of the FBI, doing wheelies and fish turns and everything, just in front of the world's premier law enforcement organization. And that's just to say, this is not the FBI you know, this is not the America you know, it's a different world. Then November 3rd comes, and November 3rd, on a scale of 1 to 10, if I said how dirty that is, where 1 means an election is completely clean, like in Norway, and 10 is a Latin American banana republic election, how would you rate November 3rd, 2020? 10. As some people say, 15. Yeah, it's so, I'm not even gonna walk through it. It's so obviously crooked at this point. It's all been proven. And just in case you don't know or don't follow it closely, because the press covers it up, the government last Friday, 8 days ago, released a report from DHS/CISA, the same clowns who came out and said this was the most secure election in history, came out with a 5-page report 8 days ago that said it may as well say be the Patrick Byrne was right again report. It says these machines are complete junk. There's 9 major vulnerabilities in the machines. No one should use these until these 9 things get fixed. They have now come out with a 5-page report explaining these machines are total junk. The same ones on which they said, this is the most secure election in history, just 8 days ago. And of the 9 vulnerabilities they found, there's a woman in Colorado named Tina Peters. Any of you know the Tina Peters story? Brave woman, a county recorder. It's her job. By the way, this gal showed up. This gal, she ran in 2018 in Grand Junction, Colorado. I think it had something to do with parking tickets. Like, too many parking tickets or not collecting the parking tickets quick enough or something. Like, the most apolitical person has nothing other than trying to be a good American, do the right thing. She realized that she was immersed in a bunch of dirty business and there were corruption around her and they were gonna wipe out some evidence. And her job as county reporter is to prevent anyone from doing that. So she took some images of hard drives and they got analyzed. And what they show is exactly what that report that came out 8 days ago from the federal government that says these machines have 9 serious vulnerabilities. Well, basically that report, which is called Mason County Forensic Report Number 3, I think it says basically, of the 9 that the government says, these 3 are the ones that happened. And they have an absolute computer proof. So it is absolutely no question anymore that it all fits together. What they found on the hard drive is exactly what the federal government is now acknowledging. Oh my gosh, there are these big vulnerabilities in these machines. It all fits together. So we have won the intellectual debate. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. The Rosetta Stone of this movement is going to turn out to be Tina Peters of Mason County, Colorado, Forensic Report Number 3. Yeah, got 3 minutes left. I'll even tell you what it shows. They took a before and after image of the hard drive of this election computer before the people showed up from the dirty Secretary of State's office to wipe it down, and then they took an after image, and what it showed is not only did they destroy all the evidence of November 2020, but it also means they found in the original image, the before image, they found exactly what we're talking about. There's some kind of hidden script within the machine that woke up and self-executed, and in a place with 90,000 votes, did something crazy with 29,000, created a loop database, moved stuff over, disappeared some images and such, so there's no way to audit them. And the county officials have said, we did not do that, we don't know anything about it, and it would have been illegal. So, but they didn't do it, and it didn't come in from outside. The machine most likely had a hidden script. If it came from the factory that way, which then there's no reason to think any election being run in any county on that, at least on that brand of machine, has any trustworthiness, because it has been proven that it had a script on it that did this crazy thing in the election. So the intellectual battle is over. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And we're gonna have one chance, and I'll close on this note. Their strategy at this point, they have one strategy left. Their strategy is violence. Their strategy is about violence. Our strategy is peace. Peace and fixing the election system. In 21 weeks, there's an election, and America's gonna take back our institutions in a big way. And they want it to get violent. They will do anything to provoke violence, because if they get violent, they're going to try to cancel the election, and then we never get out from under this rock. So for 21 weeks, we are going to turn the other cheek. We're going to be peaceful. We're going to work on election integrity. We're going to volunteer to work and observe the election. We're going to do what Joe talked about, what we did in Virginia. We're doing it across 9 states. So we're bringing integrity, but until then, it's 21 weeks of good Christian, turn the other cheek. Do not let them provoke any violence. And I know that's going to be very tough, because I think they have a real summer of rage coming. But the only way out of this is to always maintain the moral high ground. You've got to always maintain the moral high ground. And because they have such information dominance, you've got to maintain it by a good bit. And we got to get through with no violence. And then we have an election in 21 weeks. Take all that rage and anger you're going to feel this summer about the way they're, what they're doing to the country, and put it into making this November 8th the election that saves America. Thank you very much.
Angela Stanton King.